We take the scriptures and turn to Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, and we'll be reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 11. So we've heard the fifth and sixth trumpet, and here now comes a strong angel. This is God's word. I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them." And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me and saying, "Go, take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land." So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, "Take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey." I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and in my mouth it was sweet as honey, and when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And they said to me, "You must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." That is God's word. So another angel appears. And this is a different angel than the seven angels that we've been seeing, or the six angels so far that we've been seeing, because this one is most likely Christ. He is clothed, we know this because he's clothed with a cloud, symbolizing judgment. A rainbow is upon his thread. Remember the rainbow that surrounded the throne? A rainbow is upon his head, symbolizing God's covenant mercy and faithfulness. And his face was like the sun, symbolizing holiness. And so we've already seen pictures like these descriptions in Revelation chapters 1 and 4, and they describe the throne, or they describe Jesus. And he stands on the land and on the sea and speaks with a thundering voice because his message concerns the entire universe. Not just the land, not just the people on the land, not just his creatures in the land, but the sea also. And he speaks that all can hear. The seven thunders respond. But as John goes down to write what he heard, a voice from heaven stops him. He's not to write these things down, indicating that while we know much about our present day and future, we know what he's given us so far in these six trumpets and also the seals and other things we've already seen in Revelation, other parts of Scripture we know. But here we are not to know absolutely everything about what is and what is to come. Not even God's people yet. There's still some mystery remaining about the things to come. And Christ, the mighty angel of the Lord, stands, and you see that he swears by the Lord that there will no longer be delay. For when the seventh angel trumpets, then all will be revealed. The mystery will be revealed. As it says in verse 7, the mystery of God is finished at the time of the seventh trumpet. And the final judgment will come, and God's people will receive their final inheritance. And now he says here that the final judgment can come after the sixth angel has trumpeted. And what we have here is that space in between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. We see that he says the final judgment can come and it's time for the seventh angel to trumpet. But not until the middle of chapter 11 does that seventh trumpet come or is sounded. And so just as after the sixth and seventh seal did not immediately follow the seventh, or follow then the seventh, but is preceded by a message of safety and final victory for the church. And so here it is, the same thing. Not chronology. If you had a timeline, it would be the sixth trumpet, and as soon as the sixth trumpet had been blown, it's the seventh trumpet. But here, for the sake of the church, for the sake of comforting the church, here he, for the communication of suffering and power and the task and final victory of the church, that must be set forth again to believers in the midst of these trumpets of judgments toward the wicked. So that the believers, us, the church, can understand what is going to happen with us in the midst of these great judgments. And so now John is called to take the scroll, the word of God, and eat it. It shows us that the gospel itself is glorious and sweet, but its proclamation is always followed by the persecution in the church. The same as when Christ, the writer, came in chapter 6, and he was immediately, that was immediately followed by persecuting the church. Before the final judgment, there will be suffering for God's people. There will be suffering today because of the proclamation of the gospel. Here, John is called himself to proclaim the gospel to the nations and tongues and kings and peoples. And it's the same for us as we continue to proclaim the gospel today. There will be persecution. But there's also a final victory in Christ. So look forward to that. Even though we might be persecuted now, even though we might suffer now, there is a time when there will be a full, complete victory. There's already a victory in Christ, but we will experience that full victory and we'll have eternal life forever and ever. Even in the midst of these judgments going forth in the final judgment, we will have victory in Christ. So we can look forward to that, to glorification and being with the Lord forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we come to you knowing that you are a God who is just, that you, as we see in these few chapters here, that we've been looking at in chapters 8 through 10 and on through 11. Father, there are judgments which come upon the earth. There's judgments right now coming upon the earth. We've seen those already these past couple weeks with the hurricane and this storm in the east. Well, we know that we see these things with tornadoes and hurricanes and death on the land, death on the sea, wars that take place. All of these you refer to and you talk about that you bring and that you are doing so. We see it. Which makes us even more confident in what you say here, that we can draw comfort because of this. We know that you are in control. We know that as the gospel goes forth, we will be persecuted and we will suffer. And yet we know it's in your hands. And your providence controlling all your creatures and all their actions. You're governing them and you're preserving your creatures. You're preserving your church. And you will preserve it to the end. Even at the time of the final judgment, we will be acknowledged before you and acquitted there on the final judgment day. We thank you for that. We thank you that in Christ we are righteous. We thank you that in Christ we are not wicked any longer. That we will not have to suffer these judgments. which destroy eternally. The Father, comfort us. Cause us to look forward, as this is the Lord's Day, we look forward to eternity and eternal rest in You. Cause us to look forward to being glorified in You and being with You forever and ever and worshiping You forever and ever. Lord, let that ring in our ears and dwell in our minds and our hearts. But even those who are downcast and depressed or distressed would take comfort in Your word and in what You say. We thank You for who You are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.